Target Circle, the program you know and love now, includes automatic deals.
The all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target. Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout.
Plus, the unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360, is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership.
That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day.
Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 902... ONG with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
Hello, everybody. We are back with a new episode. I'm here with my bestie, Tori Spelling. Hi.
Hi.
And there's Sissany, looking beautiful as usual.
Your honorary bestie.
Yes.
I know. We have to come up with like a threesome word. We're like a thruple now.
A thruple. Sure.
We're a thruple. This is the new Hollywood thruple.
We had New Year's and that went well. And now we're all settled into January. Did you guys get your vaccines yet?
That's a no.
No.
Did you?
No. I don't think I'm considered essential. Anything.
You're essential to me, so that's all that matters. And did you know if you have shrimp allergies, you can't get it?
I've heard so many things. Like you could have an allergic reaction if you have lip fillers.
Filler.
Like,
you got to watch out for the filler.
Oh, well, then I'm screwed.
Yeah, you're going to have to wait a little bit. Well, it's just crazy out there. So I hope everybody's staying safe because it's a lot right now, but it's going to get better. It's on its way to getting better for sure.
So let us entertain you for the
let
next.
Us do that. Right. Let's take our mind off of it.
Yeah.
This episode was called 17 Year Itch, and it originally aired on November 29th, 1990.
So typically they say, like in a marriage, a relationship, you have the 7-year itch.
Yeah, I thought it was seven.
Right? It's seven, but because I'm coming Jim up on and seven. Cindy... They're married 17 years, and she's having a little itch with another man. 17-year itch. Clever, clever.
It was more than an itch. Yeah.
It was more than an itch. That was like a big old scratch.
This episode starts out so dramatic. Did anybody else? Like, I felt like, whew, Jim's coming in hot with his hairy chest out and already seen one.
I know.
Letting it fly.
Didn't even give us a chance.
And it made his chest made an appearance a few times during the episode. I noticed.
So that was my question for you guys. Like, were the producers obsessed with his hairiness? Like, was this they a must thing? Have
been. Oh my God, poor James Eckhouse. Like, he's never gonna come to our podcast. We've talked about his hairy back. Oh, now we're yes, about his hairy will. Chest.
He loves it. But did you guys notice he wears his pajamas to bed unbuttoned? Has anybody ever done that? Wear your pajamas unbuttoned? Usually you button them up. Keep the hairs in.
I didn't notice that. I don't think I was looking there.
Yeah, he unbuttoned it too. I was so distracted by all of his movements because it was just there. And so, yeah, I didn't notice that he was taking off. I thought he was going to take off his shirt, but he didn't. He just unbuttoned it and got into bed.
Yeah, and he was just not having it. He wanted to get freaky. He didn't want to have any meaningful discussion.
Sounds like a man.
She was like, I want to have intimacy.
He's like, listen. And then later he was like, listen, it's hard to bring home the bacon.
Well, I don't know. The whole thing made me just a little uncomfortable. I mean, I thought his name was Hank, first of all, but his name is Glenn. Glenn, the guy. Glenn. The mm-hmm. Glenn, yeah.
Why
Glenn
Hank? Where'd you get Hank
I don't know.
From?
I wrote down Hank, but... He first time we see him, he's hiding in the bushes at the nursery, taking photographs of what, I wonder? Before, did he follow Cindy there to take pictures of her specifically?
No, he said
there?
Like his friend owns the nursery or something, and so, his friend lets him come and take pictures.
Oh, if it was a Lifetime movie, he would have turned out to be the killer.
The killer.
Definitely.
Oh yeah. Killer vibes.
Yeah, he's a little creepy right there.
He's a little it's sexy,
so
though.
Creepy.
Am I the only one that thought he was kind of sexy?
Yeah, I thought he was like another HFD right there.
Being celebrities that you are, does it creep you out when paparazzi takes your pictures?
Creep us out?
I don't know if creep's the right word. It's just like, it's like you deal with it. It's annoying. You love it. You hate it.
I feel like there's a time for it where it's fine, and then there's times when it's really invasive, and there's times when it's just really pisses you off.
Do you remember, like, was it a year or two ago that we both had an epiphany that we were going through the same thing, but we had never spoken to anyone about it, that we have like PTSD from it? And people think we're crazy, though, but it's actually true. Like, we'll be out at lunch, not during COVID, before things were closed down and we could go out and be social. You'd be at lunch or dinner and you hear like, chick, 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 and you'd be like, you hear that? What? And whoever you're with, it's like, what do you, there's nothing.
Yeah, you're crazy. What do you think?
You think they're just following you? Yeah, hearing things. It's leaves or something. But we discuss because we've had the same experience. The 9 out of 10 times, it's real.
It's a shooter in the bushes. Pics. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't say shooter. We have a shooter in the bushes. But yeah, it's that sound of the clicking of the. It goes really fast.
30 years, we've heard it.
It's just so fascinating to me that somebody can take a picture of you and it's their property. I just don't understand that.
Wait, Jen, can we tell the story? I love this story of when you were working out that paparazzi because you were vindicated in the end.
Oh, can we tell that story?
What is it?
I love that story. It's a great story.
I'm just, okay, sure. I was working out at the gym where I work out and I was outside. And see, the paps usually drive Priuses. I don't know what it is, but all the ones that follow me seem to drive Priuses with their windows blacked out.
Fact.
Yeah. Okay, wow. Good. Not alone. So every time I see a Prius, I kind of get that feeling, like an uneasy feeling, like I'm being watched. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This day, he was parked outside of the gym, and I had a feeling, and his windows were blacked out, and I walked up to the car and I literally put my hands up to the glass to like see in there, and I couldn't see anything, but I could see a shadow move. Like I knew something was in there, and he was in there. He was in there hiding in the back seat like a coward. And I opened the door and we had some. We talked it out.
What but you're I just holding back? The door. What was discussed?
Oh my gosh. We'd say how you were like, delete those photos. Like, it, cause it's not fair. There's a time and a place, but she was working out. Like,
yeah.
She had makeup on. She was doing her thing. And they do. The fact is, they want to get the worst photo mm-hmm. of you because that's what sells.
That's you what looking makes great. The money.
You know, on the red carpet, you, those are like different types of photos. Mm-hmm. They're there. You know where to look. Everyone looks posed and pretty. But when they're kind of, lack of a better word, stalking you, like mm-hmm. in real life, they want to get that photo where you're like moving the wrong way and your mouth's open, you just look terrible. And so yep. that's I'm sure what he wanted to do, but she stopped him.
Yeah, I just said, I'm gonna need that card, I'm gonna need that card right there out of your camera. And he's like, oh no, I can't give you that. I said, yeah, you can. And you're going to. And then my trainer, who's a big muscly man, was standing behind me, and he kind of like decided maybe he should give me the card, and he tried to take it out, and I was like, just show me how to delete it. So I took his camera and I actually deleted all the pictures.
Didn't he like question why, like, why do you care? And remember right. He was like, you guys want this, or you asked for this?
Yes, he said something like, this is what you want, isn't it? I was, what, this is what I want? This is not what I want.
Or you chose to do this.
Yeah.
They say that a lot. You chose to be an actor. It's like, mm-hmm. yeah, I chose to be an actor, not to have you take horrific photos of me and sell them. And didn't you say about your livelihood?
Yeah.
Prodding.
I don't know what he said to get me to say something, but he was like,
When he wouldn't delete the pictures at first.
Yeah. I said, this is, he goes, it's just some pictures, no big deal. And I was like, no, it is a big deal. This is my livelihood. This is how I feed my kids. Like, don't take pictures of me and sell them that you know are unflattering. Like, that's what you want. That's what you want right now is for me to look bad. And that's not good for me. And so I think he got it.
I was so proud of her because I've wanted to do that a gazillion times and was too scared to do it. So she kind of stepped up for all of us to feel that way and did that in that moment. But yeah, it's we have that feeling. And people, if you're not in the situation, you don't understand it. And you're like, gosh, what's the problem? Like, have you ever been in a restaurant and been like talking about something, and then all of a sudden you're like, and you just like look behind you and you know the people are like, or they have like their camera up and you're like, oh man, what did I just say? Like,
I will just like, I'll be going about my business of life and like whatever I'm doing, going to the grocery store, whatever it is. And halfway into it, I'll be like, oh, shoot, I forgot to worry about how I look right now, or like what I'm doing. Is what I'm doing going to photograph well? Because I don't think about it. Like, I live my life like a normal person. I go about my business just like all y'all do. And then there comes that moment where you think, wait, what? Oh, they got some bad pictures, because I wasn't thinking about it right there. So,
and like,
hard.
she caught him that time, but there's been a gazillion other instances that we both have talked about and been through where you're like, I think, and then you don't trust your instinct, and then the next week you see the photos and you're like, I knew someone was there. You know what the weird part is? Whenever they get those photos out there, there's one of the photos that always looks like you're looking right at
straight
them.
At
have
it.
Have you noticed that, Jen?
Yeah. Always right down the barrel. But we don't see them. But we didn't see. That's the one where I always see these guys. But those ones where you don't know that they're there, it looks like you're looking into the camera.
Because instinctively, you're like, something wrong. And you're looking in that direction. Then you're like, nah, someone else is telling me I'm crazy. It's not happening. But it's like, yeah. Sorry. We get fired up about it, sis, because it's like a thing.
No.
And we didn't realize it had been happening for 30 years and we hadn't discussed that. And when we discussed it, we were both like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, no, that sound, that's sound of the shutter gives me like hypertension immediately. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm feeling it right now.
It's fascinating.
I'm so anxious. I'm going to have to take a sip of wine.
Yeah, drink your wine. Let's get back to the episode. We got a little side. I didn't know that was going to.
Oh,
that's quite the cord.
Triggered us. You triggered us.
So Glenn is not a paparazzo.
He's just a weird guy in the bushes. Yeah.
But sexy.
Yeah. He was tall and handsome. I can see why Cindy would have the hots for him.
Especially just being alone all day and her husband's working all the time.
That's right. He's working hard, bringing him the bacon.
I was confused because her, what's the woman who's with her in that scene? What's her character's name?
Maria, or her,
yeah,
she calls her, assistant.
Assistant, which I was like, okay. But she, in the episode, like two episodes before that, she didn't know how to speak English. And now all of a sudden she was like fluent in English. Yeah. So maybe Cindy's a really good teacher.
Yeah, maybe.
So the whole Cindy at the nursery running into the photographer guy was the big setup for what becomes her 17-year itch, apparently.
So then she brings him back to the house.
For dinner.
Jim's there. Mm-hmm. So it seems legit, right? But yeah, her body language on the couch is insane otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. They are just a little too close on the couch. Right?
And staying up late.
3 a.m. Hello? Mm-hmm. Who stays up till 3 a.m.?
No one. Unless you want to have an affair. But seriously, her body language, like, and her voice, like the way she talks to him the whole time is just different.
Mm-hmm. And Jim sees it. And then he leaves them down there to have their whatever. And then he wakes up and she's gone. And he goes downstairs. And he looks so cute with his little hair all ruffled up. But he goes and he just like watches them from the stairs. And I just wanted him to man up, go down there and punch that guy or something. Like, go do something.
You just explained the difference between you and me. Like, you described that. And if we were both in that situation, like, I would have been like, oh, well, poor me. And gone back upstairs like Jim did. And you would have been like, what?
I've been like, bitch, what are you doing?
Yeah, get off my man.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I'm a little feisty sometimes.
No, she's not. No, you're confrontational, like in a good way. Like, you speak your mind.
I don't like to be taken advantage of.
No, you need to be taken advantage of.
Much, much stronger than you used to be. I would definitely know that. Like,
thank God for you.
It's not me.
You have helped, but you've helped the process a little bit.
Yes. Aww. Well, maybe just examples.
So the kids start noticing it.
Yes.
Brandon and Brenda. Start, especially Brenda. Brenda's very feisty about it.
Brandon is, I felt like, didn't care. He was he didn't like care. And Brenda was like on high alert. Mm-hmm. You guys, okay, so here are my feelings. I feel like Brenda once again was like, I wish he was flirting with me instead of mom.
Cuz he's an older man.
She's obsessed with older men, like seriously obsessed. I'm convinced that Brenda Walsh today would be married to someone who's like in their 70s. Hopefully rich. God bless. But I felt like Glenn was a little bit Brandon-esque. He had like the tousled, wavy, long hair, the tie. Like when Brandon was putting on his tie to go to the art gallery or the showing. Like I was like, oh, and then Glenn has that look. Am I wrong? Okay, sorry. Creepy territory.
You're not wrong, but I didn't see that.
I didn't get that vibe, but okay.
I love that you always throw us off the freaking rail, Tori.
What did you guys think of the male twins? I want to know what. Yeah.
I want to know where they are now.
Let's talk about the twin study and all of that. We have to take a break and we'll be right back.
Okay, we're back. We're back, and we want to talk about twins. Sissany, you have twins.
I defer to you.
Well, I'm only a two-year expert. Three, if you count them being in my womb. It's so crazy because I have fraternal twins, a boy and a girl, just like Brenda and Brandon. Do you guys think that like I manifested this from like my childhood from watching so much Beverly Hills 90210?
Imagine.
Did you think for one second that maybe you should name them Brenda and Brandon?
For one second, it did cross my mind. I'm not going to lie. For one second.
Amazing.
But yeah, the whole college study on fraternal twins and identical twins that they were doing in this episode was just really funny to me. I was just like, does this stuff happen? I guess it does in real life.
The opening it with the close up of the two grown man twins.
Which freaked me out.
They were lots. Yeah,
it made me grateful to have fraternal twins. I was like, I don't need two of the same. That's like, it's crazy.
What was the moment like when you were told there were two babies in your belly?
It was.
We can't imagine that.
It was crazy. I mean, not to get too into it, but I got pregnant the first time and I miscarried. And so that was my first experience with pregnancy, anything. And so we were trying for almost a year to conceive mm-hmm. again, naturally, like no fertility drugs, no IVF, nothing. And so when I found that I was pregnant with them, or after I was pregnant, I just thought one baby, obviously, but I'm just on edge. I'm so scared that I'm going to miscarry again. So for them to tell me that it was twins, it just blew my mind. And I just couldn't believe it. And it made me that much more scared because I was like, wow, you hear all these stories. Like sometimes one doesn't make it, this and that. And so you're like excited, but you're like automatically a high risk pregnancy, like instantly. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a scarier, I don't know, way. I couldn't be like super like glowy until the second trimester. Like I was just like so scared the entire time. Get like emotional talking about it, but
you did it, sis. You
I did it. They popped them out and they're healthy.
Yeah,
wow. Good job. You went through all of that, and then they handed you two babies, a little Brenda and a little Brandon.
Little Brenda and Brandon right there. But yeah, I really resonate with the storyline of them being twins, because one of our producers, Amy, was just saying, I forget that they're twins. And like for me as a twin mom, I was like, I don't. I literally like watch them like hawks, like see their mannerisms in the show and wonder if like what my kids' relationship will be like when they're in high school. Like, will they be best friends? Will they have each other's back? All that stuff.
I feel like when you meet twins as adults, like I always ask, at least I'm like, wait, do you finish each other's sentences? Do you know what the other one's thinking? And sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no. I feel like Brenda and Brandon, not like that at all.
No, they're
opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they still care. Like, I feel like he cares more about her than she cares about him.
Really?
I kind of get that vibe sometimes.
Because she's a teenage girl and she's like all about herself, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like girls are into drama. Like boys are just like, yeah, no.
So the professor at the college, mm-hmm. when they go to the college to do this study, she ends up being your guys' principal, right? Or am I crazy?
Mrs. T. That's Mrs. T. But it was a different name. She had a different name. She was a different character.
Harriet. When she walked in, I was like, oh, Mrs. T. Weasley is being introduced.
Me too.
By the way,
so happy.
We never called her Mrs. T. Like Mr. T, like the A-team. Like, is that something you called her?
Yeah. Because
in the show, really, I like that. I love that. So I was like, oh, Mrs. Teasley is being our principal is being introduced so early on.
Yeah.
And then she's like, my name is Harriet something.
Her real name is Denise Dowse. Mm-hmm. And she was that was her first role on the show. But apparently she was on the show another time as another different character.
Three times?
Yes. And then she became the principal.
They really liked her. They thought her very talented. They were like, she's great.
We loved working with her. She's great.
So she's the principal during the whole Donna Martin graduate. That's that whole era. That whole era.
Well, I had my first stuff, which will come up later, like when I had a learning disability and I had to talk to her. Like that was one of my first big scenes. So I always felt super connected to her. And then, of course, Donna Martin graduates. But she was great. We loved working with her. Oh, we should have her on the show someday. I love her.
Yeah, we should.
Denise Dowse. I would like her to tell us what Luke whispered in her ears. I'm sure something.
Never know.
Never know.
I was just really wrapped up in the Cindy storyline. I couldn't, because the Cindy, the affair storyline was kind of like the A storyline. And then the twins thing was more of a B storyline.
And then there was the DJ auditions.
Then there was that.
Mm-hmm. Which
is shocking, you guys, because the parents never got the A storyline. Isn't it interesting? Like this episode, watching it now as an adult, same. I was fascinated with the Cindy storyline, but it's because that's our age now. Like, so it was a whole different. I'm sure when we were young, like our friends watched that episode and they were like, get to the kids.
Yeah.
Probably.
Seeing Donna audition as the DJ for the high school was the highlight of this episode for me.
Do you remember that little rap? Can you do it for us now?
Hell no, but it was so bad.
Like, so cute. Really?
Honestly?
But it was supposed to be bad, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. But it's just like, I thought it would be cute. Like when we first decided to do a podcast, I remember Darren Martin, our biggest fan, sent it to me and he was like, it was a premonition. It was always meant to be. Like you and Jenny are hosting a podcast. Remember when you tried out to be the DJ? And he sent it and I was super excited and I re-listened to it and I was like, oh, like, it's Donna, not Madonna. Like, oh my God.
So good. It's like the laugh that we all needed in the episode because everything was so serious with Cindy and Glenn. And all of a sudden it cut to that. I was like, oh,
yikes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And to say, I didn't get the job.
You didn't. And neither did Steve, which I enjoyed watching him freeze and not be able to deliver. That was good. He just but like you got ended up helping Cindy David Brady out. Syndrome.
Where you down like, the road and. Yeah. In new episodes, you end up helping David out, I feel, in the radio station.
I do, yeah. Mm-hmm. I come on and like kind of be his little partner in crime.
Sidekick.
Brian's DJ. Little high voice, like, oh,
so oh my cute. Goodness, that voice, that prepubescent voice of his was so cute.
And I don't even, my name is Dave and I don't even shave. Like whatever he said. Oh my God.
And
like,
then from, like that, from that
creeper crushing
point
on
forward,
that.
He's the DJ at the school. He's the voice of the voiceover.
That's awesome.
Hmm.
Who was the first guy? Like, who was that?
There was two. There was the DJ in the pilot. And then when we came back for series, there was another guy who was the DJ guy. And then now it's David.
And as a freshman, big accomplishment.
That's huge for a freshman.
Right.
Huge.
Wait. Okay, so remember when he was doing that and his friend, what's his friend, Doug?
Mm-hmm.
Is that his name, the character's name?
Was Douglas David Emerson, and he played, oh my God, blanking.
Scott David and Scanlon.
Scott.
I thought his name was Scott.
It was not Scott Scanlon.
Oh, Scott Scanlon. Okay.
You're thinking of toilet paper. No, just kidding.
I thought he cracked me up though with his like
don't reactions. Wait, what are you gonna do?
I don't know.
Oh God.
It was funny to me. He made me laugh.
He is adorable.
His little face, his little eyebrows, so cute. But anyway, I was back to the affair. Let's talk about the affair. Well, when they have like the, what is it, an exhibit or an opening night, and then everybody goes to support this guy. Kelly and Donna.
And that's where the kiss happens.
Yep. Kelly and Donna go there. We were
I remember
really-
that. It took. Do you remember that scene? Like as soon as I watched it again, I was like, oh! I was like right back into filming that day. I remember us filming that day and like walking through all that. It wasn't a real place. It was a setup like on a set, but.
We really brought the fashion, though, I just want to say. We really livened that joint up.
We did.
We our did. Hair.
I do want to discuss your guys' dresses. Let's start with Donna's dress. It was like a gold bra on top of a sheer black long sleeve.
Yeah, you had like studs on your boobies.
It was very Madonna-esque 1990s vibe for sure.
I feel like it was pre-Madonna, so whatever.
Yeah, pre-Madonna. Oh.
But yeah, it was very Material Girl, which was in the 80s, so I guess it was based on
that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was with you, though. I thought it was the 90s. And then Kelly's dress is like
gold chains of some kind.
But I was distracted by your hair.
Truly. Me too. What was that? What was the intention behind that do? I don't know.
It was
I don't know.
Bird inspired.
It reminds me of my wedding hairdo for my second wedding. Remember that tour?
Yeah, the one I told you not to do.
Mm-hmm.
What? It was like that? Why'd
it just
you do
was
that?
Like, whoo, like spiky up on top, a lot of things flying out of the top of my head.
But by the way, again, you started a trend like that took off and everyone wore their hair like that for so long. They did.
Maybe. I don't
that
know.
That was very in, including yourself. Again,
it was mesmerizing, though.
It was.
But yeah, that guy was a slimeback. He was really trying to get with a married woman right in there.
He like ate her face.
Mm-hmm. That was a juicy kiss.
It was like she couldn't breathe.
I liked when they were walking over that bridge and he's like, do you ever play What If?
Oh,
sorry, I'm going back, but I just really like that part. What if you hadn't met Jim? I like playing what if. Let's play what if.
You kick it off.
Okay. Jen, what if you never met me?
What if I never met you? Life would be incomplete.
No.
That would be so sad. Sorry, that's
this
not a funny
podcast
what if.
Okay. Would not exist.
Okay, let's do a juicy what if. How do we do a juicy what if? Oh, God, I'm not good at this.
I don't know how to play what if. That sounds dangerous.
So his what if question, I know this is not Beverly Hills 90210, reminded me a bit of our season finale for BH 90210, where Brian and Tori have a moment and he's like, do you ever wonder what if?
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, yeah, every single day. Like, sorry, that reminded me. Sorry, Brian and Tori again. sorry. It reminded me of that like moment that was scripted that felt like the Glenn and Cindy thing.
I love the montage of them in his little car all around town. They look like they're having such a good time.
I know.
She was so wrong.
She was so happy.
And then she's like, you know, must be nice. No, what'd he say? Must be nice having people waiting for you. And she's like, yeah, it's nice.
Sorry.
Yeah. She was having a moment where she was like, yeah. What if?
I don't think I could ever try to get as involved as Brenda wanted to be in the whole affair situation, like following them around and all that. I don't know how I'd react if I knew that one of my parents was having an affair.
I felt like, yeah, I would be like that too. I mean, like I can remember a time when my mom and dad were separated and I was about that age, maybe 14, 15, 16. And I can remember, I don't know, it was never really like solidified or talked about, but I think my mom like was kind of separated and sort of feeling out like what that would be like. And I remember, I don't remember their faces or their names, but I remember her bringing a guy around, her friend, you know?
Yeah.
And I have never been meaner to a person in my life. So I can totally relate to Brenda because it's like you just get so, like, your hair stands up, you know? And
territorial.
Yeah, territorial because that's, you want your mom and dad to be together no matter what. So I could totally relate to Brenda.
Your spidey senses. Kids have spidey senses.
I felt really bad though when Brenda and Brandon made them a beautiful anniversary dinner.
They still didn't have the spark.
No. And Jim just left. Just like Brandon. He gets all fired up and just walks away.
Ugh. Coward.
You know what? It was hard rewatching it. Like rewatching it, we know the characters, we know the actors, so we played more into it. But this was the first season, and the parents really hadn't played a pivotal role. So to me, it felt a little out of nowhere that suddenly, like, Jim's like, I'm not going to make it. Well, like, and he was kind of like, to her, and she's like, oh, let me guess. Like, before that, I didn't really see that. So it was like, gosh, this happened really quick, you know?
So, yeah, and I wasn't like a big Jim fan already. Like, it took you time to really, like, loved that character, the dad and Jim. And then, but this happened and you were like, wait, I think he's a dick. Like, I think this
eighth
dad
episode.
Guy, yeah.
What do you think thought process was to do that, like, so early on into
quick?
The season?
I don't know. I think it was too soon because I feel like people weren't exactly rooting for Jim. They were like, oh, who's this cute, like, sexy photographer that's like,
yeah. Because he wasn't being very nice to his wife, in all honesty. Yeah. So she wasn't fulfilled.
Yeah, I feel like there's so many other storylines between the kids that could have been developed or
first
seen.
It was an odd choice.
Doesn't one of them say, we had a mental affair, not a physical affair?
Which I think is worse sometimes. Like an emotional affairs.
Oh, that hurts.
So much worse.
Yeah,
than
that cuts deep.
I mean, I don't mean they both suck, but.
I mean, they did have a physical affair, kind of. I mean, they made out.
Because they kissed.
Mm-hmm. Does she tell Jim about the kiss?
She was ready to, but he kind of was like, I don't care. Do you love me? And she said, yes, I do. And then they just ran off on their reunion trip.
So do you think he could have somewhere deep down been like, maybe she had sex with this guy? Like, he doesn't know. He doesn't want to know.
Yeah, he doesn't want to know.
As Cindy, I would want him to know that. Look, we did not have sex.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I don't think he thought that of her. I think.
How do you know?
Because it's...
Can you ask Cindy Walsh, please?
Jim and Cindy.
And Jim Walsh. I just don't know. I'm not sure.
I'm glad he finally came to his senses, though. And him coming in and saying, pack... Like, there's nothing hotter than your husband coming into the room and saying, pack your bags, we're going away.
I mean, I can think of a couple hotter things, but yeah, sure. Okay. I mean... So Jim Walsh originally was into poetry?
Yeah, bizarre.
Like the accountant was like, I gave him my basketball career when I was 12. Hmm. And then Jim's like, what about you? And Jim's like, poetry.
Poetry.
Leave it at that.
What?
And then later in the episode, he's reading some prose that he's, you know, especially fond of, really getting deep.
So it was just literally put in there for a callback. But like, oh, I just don't picture Jim Walsh like into poetry like a...
I tried to when I was watching it. I tried to see him as like kind of like a beatnik, like hippie kind of.
And could you?
Guy, like one of those, you know, that's yeah. a poetry reading. And I could. I could see it. Like if his hair was a little more bushier and maybe had like a hat on. Oh, my God. I don't know.
Let's pull up James Eckhouse at like 18 years old and see if we can picture it.
Maybe they wrote it because he was into poetry. Who knows?
Yeah, they would do a lot of things based on what we would be into or we would say, and no one ever knew.
But I'm glad that Jim decided to grow some balls and go talk to the guy. He decided to go meet up with him.
Gross. You know what? I'm not going to say it.
Say it.
I mean, he has hair.
God!
He has hair everywhere else.
I didn't think you were going to go there. I thought you were going to reference that she's talked about punching someone in the dick today. She's talked about gross and balls.
Sis is, you, she looks all innocent.
Oh, okay. You know what? We should take a break.
Now I'm picturing a hairy butt and I can't go any further. Thanks.
We have some questions from listeners that we should get to. Hang on. We'll be right back.
So, okay, we're back, but I forgot to say, like, how beautiful I thought Carol or Cindy, I get confused, they looked in those photographs that the guy took. He was a pretty decent photographer, and B, she just looked beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys notice that Dylan and both Dylan and Andrea were not in this episode?
Yeah. Why would that happen?
I'm sure people noticed that Dylan wasn't in it.
I want to say that even though Luke was made a regular, he was only made 7 out of 10 nowadays, but we did 22 episodes. So he wasn't picked up first season for every episode, which is crazy. That's how Fox
that
wanted to do
right.
it. Does that seem right? Okay. Why wasn't Gabrielle in it, though?
I don't know.
Did she have the same sort of odd deal that Andrea wasn't every episode?
So that was a deal thing then. It was like you were had specific amount of episodes.
Yeah, and Steve only had like one line and then the one scene in the DJ booth, which wasn't even a scene. Mm-hmm. It was just like a few words. So you know he probably wasn't very happy about that.
I'm getting like diva vibes from Ian.
Oh my God, no.
Do I need to know something?
No.
The silent smiles say everything.
Wait, what was his name? What was his name, Jen?
El Zeno.
El Zeno.
What?
He will tell you this when he comes on.
Can you speak up a little bit? We didn't hear
you. Not our story to share.
El Zeno. We had a nickname for him. He had a nickname for himself after a while. El Zeno.
Why wasn't that?
Well, the boys nicknamed him that.
Yeah. Well, you know the storms, the El Nino winds.
Oh. You know what? Brian telling this story, though. There's nothing like Brian telling the story. And then Jason jumps in. And then Ian turns bright red and he's like, oh, it's so good.
But was it endearing, his personality?
Oh, his personality? No. Yeah, we love him.
Okay. Amazing yeah. personality. He's yeah. the best.
Yeah.
Makes us laugh constantly.
Got it.
But there's, I mean, we all, 10 years together, we all had our highs and our lows.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. He just had some very public highs in front of all of us. Nothing that's not endearing, though. Like, still, like, we should wait and let the boys tell the story.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by it. That sounds awesome. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
Questions from listeners. You guys ready?
Yes, we okay. love those.
This one is from Brad. Brad says, the character of Donna was originally named Donna Morgan in the pilot episode, but changed soon after to Donna Martin. So I was wondering if you had any insight about the name change.
Hmm. I had no idea. Is that Jen?
Your name was Morgan?
I feel like, no, Donna Morgan. Donna I feel Morgan. Like Donna had no last name.
No, yeah, right. Not right? Like on the show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to call her Donna. Like Kelly's friend number one. Like that, like I didn't even remember she had like a name in the first episode. Like I'm not even convinced of that. It was Donna Morgan. Donna, that would have changed everything, huh? Donna Morgan graduates. I don't know. What if?
Maybe you just heard it wrong. Maybe it was always Martin. I don't know.
Okay, moving on. Oh, I saw this question. I saw this question and I was actually curious too. So why does season one not have the standard opening credit sequence with the blue screen that we're all used to?
Wait, you guys. I was shocked. I'm so sorry. I have to go back. I know why my name is Donna Martin. Can I go?
Tell us.
I'm raising my hand. I'm so sorry. It just hit me, you guys, why they did it. So I don't remember her having a last name. But my dad made it Donna Martin because my godfather is Dean Martin. So he was like, just make her last name Martin. Sorry, that's the story.
I love that.
Yeah.
Back to Kellyanne's question. Why does season one not have the standard opening credit sequence with the blue screen that we're all used to? Mm-hmm. I was shocked not to see it when I started rewatching. I do not remember ever being a season without it. That happened later on.
I forgot we didn't have that either.
And yeah, they didn't think that one up yet.
I always looked forward to it every season because it would kind of be different.
So did we.
Yeah, we loved it.
But we had our standard.
No? Sometimes the first season of a show, like their opening sequence looks different. Yeah. I mean, sometimes seasons always look different. Our show kind of got that look with the backdrop and the lighting and where we all turn.
When it was your turn.
Well, I feel like first season they just like use stock stuff from like us, like in the hallway in class. And then second season they're like, oh, and the show's starting to do well. Let's do a day where we have like a photo shoot.
Yeah, we would do big cast photo shoots on those days, God. and then another crew would have days. Set up like the stool, the rotating stool. And I remember they had like. It was a whole new crew, so they tried to really get artsy with it, and they had a fancy backdrop, and they had fancy lighting, and they had a – do you remember them had, like, water in front of us, and they would jiggle the water so it reflected on the backdrop? Like, it made those,
Is
like,
that what that was?
Yeah. I just remember there
I
being, like, water.
I did not remember that. I didn't remember that until – for BH90210, we went back and looked at it so hardcore, and we tried to recreate that, and we're like – But you remembered. She always remembered. She was like, it was water. Because everyone's like, how did they use it? Was it a certain paper in the background? And you were like, no, they literally jiggled water.
Pan full of water.
Those were iconic, though. And gosh, I feel like those days were the hardest days in 10 years were those photo shoot days and promo days. Ooh.
Yeah. It was just hard because everybody was there all at the same time. And everybody had to be ready all at the same time.
And the boys were always like, the boys hated waiting for us. Oh, but it's like.
They were so impatient.
Who would take the longest?
All of us. Yeah. Like the girls just took a long time.
But the boys like would always make comments, which didn't make it easier. Like as soon as we'd walk on set, they'd be very like loud, making jokes to each other and high-fiving and like, oh, they're here. Like, remember? And we'd be like. And then they're like, everyone get together and smile, you're best friends. And it's like, we were best friends, but they would just get really impatient. It's like, all you had to do was put on like a t-shirt and or Steve's button-up shirt and like just pop onto set, you know? Hey.
It's a little more intensive for us.
Yeah. And the wardrobe. Well.
So do we see that season two?
I think mm-hmm. we see the new promo, the new, what's it called? Like a intro? Opening sequence, mm-hmm. intros, whatever, character, I don't know. Credits. That's the credits. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Opening mm-hmm. credits.
Yes. When we get to season two, we should start to dissect the opening credits each season because they're stories.
Interesting. We'll get to it. All right. Paul is asking, as you rewatch the show, which character is your overall favorite? Which character do you feel resonates with you the most?
If other than our own, probably. Like if you weren't Donna, mm-hmm. who would you be or want to be or like relate to the most? I'm gonna change this question just a little.
It's so hard to take yourself out of it. I guess if I had to, watching now, completely unrelated, I would probably relate to, so far, at episode 8, like Brenda. Mm-hmm. I'd be a Brenda. Who would you be?
I've always said Andrea. I just love the character of Andrea. Mm-hmm. I love her look. I love her choices. I just loved her. And watching it back, I mean, I told you guys, like, I have a bit more of an appreciation for the Brenda character for sure. Mm-hmm. And I could have said Brenda, but Andrea is always the one that I'm like, I wish I was an Andrea.
Mm-hmm. Sis?
I'd want to be like Dylan McKay. Mysterious, unpredictable.
Heartthrob.
Everyone wants you. They can't have you.
Mm-hmm. Nice choice.
It's so funny, like, watching it from, like, a young, like, teenage girl perspective now. Like, I definitely, and I never all these years, if you'd been like, hey, which character on the show, like, obviously not Donna with David, like, anything. Like, who would you pick? I would have always said Luke, and now, or Dylan, I would have said Dylan. And now watching it back, I'm like, I'm a Brandon fan. Like, at 47 years old, I'm like, a teenage girl crushing on Brandon. It would be Brandon.
His eyes did look especially beautiful in this episode.
And putting on that tie. Oh.
He was just too goody-goody for me.
I used to think that, but maybe now, like, I always wanted the bad boy. Mm-hmm. But now, like, maybe as an adult, you rethink things and you see it differently. And now I am seeing things through Brandon. And I'm like, oh, he's a great, like, he's a good guy. And he's gorgeous. Like, I would have, like, picked differently in theory. Are we going to do lines that we like? Because I have one this episode, actually.
Oh, what was your fave?
Lay it on us. What was your favorite line from?
So it was a Donna line, and it was sticking out here is fitting in.
Is it
no
again?
Clue. Sticking out here is fitting in. She says it at the photography show. So there's like a meme of Donna doing that, and people always send it to me, and I'm always like, oh, whatever. And then I watched it back. I was like, oh, there it is. Still don't get what it means, but it's there.
What do you mean you don't get what it means? It means, like, she was saying, you have to be memorable. You have to be mm-hmm. different than everybody else, so that
you're
LA
like everyone
Beverly
else
Hills was. Yeah,
in reference to Beverly Hills.
Yeah, like just that lifestyle.
Okay, it doesn't go any deeper.
I like the line. Well, there's a couple. I like the line about the nooner. Do you guys remember that one?
Yeah, that one made me laugh.
Mom and dad are having a nooner. No, he said mom's having a nooner.
Brenda's like, what's a nooner?
Yeah, what's a nooner? And then he said, let's just move on or something. I don't know. But they didn't expand on what a nooner was. Maybe next time.
Does that exist? Is that a thing?
A nooner? Yeah.
Yeah. Like an afternoon delight.
Uh-huh. And then my other one was, come on, Brenda, they're married. They're supposed to be crabby.
Oh, yeah.
I like that one. Oh,
I did like Cindy saying, I'm not wearing perfume. I'm wearing toilet water.
Toilet water? What is toilet water?
Okay, I didn't get that. I was going to rewind it, and I was like, what?
Toilette.
De toilette.
Whatever it is. Like, you know how there's perfume, and then there's like, toilette.
Well, that's like a fancy thing.
Toilet. No, it's like it's not just, as
not as strong.
Yes.
It's like a watered down, like if you put it in the toilet and like swish it around.
As if, but I didn't know that's where it originated. People used to actually refer to it as toilet water.
I'd never heard anyone say, I'm wearing toilet water.
Okay, awful. I've never heard it either. And I was like, ooh, I guess maybe in the 90s people said that. Like either you're wearing perfume or you're wearing like the watered down version, it's toilet water. But I was like, she said it and like it threw me off.
Me too.
Okay.
Did you have a favorite line, sis?
Yeah, I put a few here. This one was like, I think he has the hots for mom, Brenda to Brandon about Glenn. And then Brandon goes, dream on, which kind of just puts him back into like this innocent 50s vibe. I don't know. Like who says dream on?
You know, who says that? That the guy from Back to the Future. I don't know. It just reminds me of
Marty McFly.
Somebody from Back to the Future would say that.
Dream on.
Dream on.
I feel like that was, people said dream on back then, right? I mean, there was a whole series called Dream On, but like there was Dream On. Oh, it makes Brandon even dreamier. Let's bring it back.
Dream on.
And a really sweet one from Cindy was when she spoke down to Glenn and she was like, I really like you, but I really love my husband. And it was just like,
that's romantic.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Her soulmate. There's no what if. It was always supposed to be Jim Walsh for her. I love that. Aw.
In his pajamas. So cute.
Sis, what's our homework, everybody? We got homework.
Homework is episode 9, which is The Gentle Art of Listening.
Brenda finds herself in a crisis when she gets to know an unseen student date rape victim from Andrea's volunteer helpline. I remember that, the helpline. Remember helplines?
Oh, right. So she volunteers. We should wait and talk about it next week. I don't ruin it for anybody.
All right. Well, that's the homework assignment.
Okay. Go get your Hulu on or wherever you watch it.
Or Amazon Prime.